It is great to see y'all. It's been 6 weeks since I've been up here to preach. 6 weeks. Hope I remember how to do it. A lot has happened. I hope you've been blessed by the words that have been spoken up here for the last 5 Sundays. I know I have. Started with Mark Bundy. Many thanks to Mark Bundy, who was our first guest speaker back on November the 12th. And where did Brandon go? Anyway, Mark spoke about, if you remember, our impact as Christians, our impact. And he used the relationship of a golf club hitting a golf ball to talk about our impact. And he talked about the physics of that, and that's got my head so messed up. My swing is terrible now, so Brandon, wherever you are, I need some help. Anyway, it was great. Thank you, Mark. After that, we had John Campos, if you remember. John Campos came and spoke on our joint service with the Hispanic congregation. John was great. He was great that day. Then next we had our friend Marty Koontz, who was Taylor's dad. And he reminded us of our connection with and our partnership with Livingstone International University in Uganda. And many thanks to all of you who gave for this mission project over the last 12 months. Great things for the kingdom of God are happening at LIU and in Africa through the power of the Holy Spirit working through us and through people like us who are contributing to LIU. So I trust that all of you who gave last year will continue to do so in 2024. And I pray that more of you would join us in helping with supporting this work in the new year. Please talk to me or to any of the shepherds or to Bethany about how to find out about how to get involved in this work that God is calling us to do. And if you're not taking notes, or even if you are, take a note right now. Write this down right now so you won't forget before we finish up today. See Ambrose right after church to sign up to give to Livingstone International University in 2024. Everybody got that written down? I'll be in the back. I'll be here all week. See me today in the back and join us. Join the work of God there. Well, after Marty, we had our friend Dr. Vern Palmisano come and gave us another amazing lesson, didn't he, on the many proofs of the fact that Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is the Son of God. If you missed that sermon, please make sure you go back to our website and listen to it. If you have friends or family who don't believe, ask them to listen to it with you. Good things can happen there. And finally, last Sunday, our own Tyler Smith gave a lesson dressed in traditional Pakistani garb. You remember that last week? And he spoke to us about his trip to Pakistan and his work there. And in his talk, he opened our eyes, I think, to the fact that the kingdom of God is alive in places in which following Jesus is not easy to do. So much harder to do than it is here. Do we really think that God has placed them there in Pakistan and places like that, places of hardship, and then placed us here in places of comfort and wealth, and safety and abundance? Do you think he did that just so that we can enjoy and hoard all of those blessings for ourselves? In our land of plenty, at this joyous Christmas time, maybe now is the perfect time to reflect, to do some soul searching, to examine our hearts and consider whether or not we are really doing what God has always asked of His people to do. Are we givers? Are we being generous? Are we even giving it all? Hey, Tyler didn't say all of this. This is me. This is your pastor talking. This is your shepherd talking. This is your brother, your friend saying this. Not because I need a raise next year. If you tripled my salary next year, it would still be zero, okay? I'm saying this because if you're not giving money, George, if you're not giving, you're robbing yourself of a blessing from God. I'm saying this because if you're not giving, God's family has got to be a family of givers. God is a giver. If you're not a giver, are you really a part of His family? Okay, well, none of that is a sermon for today. That's just a little Christmas lanyard. Because that's the way we do it around here. But Christmas, man, it's almost here, right? Christmas time is almost here. Next Sunday is Christmas Eve. And Matthew has put together another fabulous Christmas Eve worship service. So if you're in town next week, even if you're not, like me, I'm not going to be in town, but I'm going to come back just for this. So if you're out of town, make sure you come back for church on Sunday. Because it's going to be awesome. It's going to be awesome. We're going to have breakfast provided by Jenny. So make sure you're here a little bit ahead of time. I'm right about that, right? Yeah, anyway. Make sure you're here a little early to get something to eat, fellowship with your friends and neighbors here. And by the way, it's the perfect time. It's the perfect time to introduce your friends and neighbors to the Tammany Oaks Church of Christ. Just think, church without a sermon. Isn't that great? Man. But that no sermon thing is for next week. This week, we still got a sermon we got to get to, okay? So, speaking of Christmas, how many of you are just about done with Christmas music this season? No, I'm not talking about the great songs, the great ones, not the classics that point us to the Savior. Those are always welcome. They are always wonderful. Now, I'm talking about those other songs that have been wearing on our patience, or at least on my patience, since Halloween, okay? I mean, how many more times can you stand to be rocking around the Christmas tree with Brenda Lee at the Xmas party hop? I mean, come on, y'all. And I don't know about you, but all I want for Christmas is to not to have to hear one more time Mariah tell us that all she wants for Christmas is you. I mean, I'm done, okay? Anybody else in that boat with me? With all that being said, I actually love Christmas music. I love it. In fact, I love them so much that I've got a new one to share with y'all this morning. A new song we're going to listen to. I was listening to a a regular old non-Christmas song some time ago. And I got to thinking, I thought, you know what? If you just change one word in the first verse, you suddenly got a Christmas song. A brand new Christmas song. A brand new look at the Christmas story. Not this Christmas story classic, but the real story of Christmas. The real first Christmas. It actually wasn't all merry and bright. The one that wasn't actually like walking in a winter wonderland. And the writer of this song, Robbie Robertson of the band, who, by the way, you probably heard, died back in August. He wasn't trying to write a Christmas song when he wrote this song. But if you use your imagination, and like I said, change just one word in the first verse of the song, I think you'll be able to hear, and I think you'll be able to hear it as a Christmas song. And, by the way, with the amazingly patient help of David Gilbert and Bethany, we got the lyrics of this first verse of the song synced up with a video that will help, I think, inspire your imagination. And so, in honor of the great, late great Robbie Robertson, here is Something New for Christmas out of Something Old.
I just need some place where I can lay my head. Hey, mister, can you tell me where a man might find a bed? He just grinned and shook my hand. No was all he said.
What do you think? Can you see that as a Christmas song? That verse. Just that verse. I can see that some of you of a certain age were ready to sing along with the chorus there. Take a load off, Fanny. That's not Christmas stuff. But that's part of the real Christmas. The real Christmas story. The one that wasn't all about the most wonderful time of the year. What a struggle. What a struggle this must have been for Mary and Joseph. You know, we read about it in the Gospels, except the Gospel of Mark doesn't say anything about it. The Gospel of John only says in some very beautiful and high and lofty language about how the Word was with God and the Word was God and the Word became flesh and started living with us. That's really all John has to say about it. Luke kind of skips over the whole 9 months getting ready. He sums it up in 3 verses. Joseph went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to the town of Bethlehem in Judea, the birthplace of King David. Joseph went there because he was a descendant of David. He went to register with Mary, who was promised in marriage to him. She was pregnant, and while they were in Bethlehem, the time came for her to have her baby. Well, us modern Americans, we read through that and we don't even blink, do we? They're not married. She's pregnant. So what? Well, Matthew tells us that just a little bit about how big a deal that really was in first century Judea. Look what Matthew says. Joseph was a man who always did what was right, but he did not want to disgrace Mary publicly. So he made plans to break the engagement privately. Public disgrace. This was a huge deal. her to be with child and not married was a huge deal in their little hometown. And it was going to continue to be a big and horrible deal for the next 9 months, probably for the rest of their lives. You might know how small towns can be. And Joseph, because he wasn't a part of all that, didn't want to be a part of all that. But then, something so weird happens. An angel tells Joseph in a three-sentence dream, "It's cool. Mary's child is from the Holy Spirit. Call his name Jesus because he's going to save his people." End of dream. That's it? That's all I get, says Joseph. And in a dream? Have you guys ever had a dream that you can't even hardly remember it the next day? Was it real? Did it really happen? A dream? He had to have so many questions. But he wasn't given any more heavenly answers. Now, at least Mary had actually had an in-person visit from the angel while she was awake. But even she didn't get a whole lot of detail. About the only other thing that she got from the angel Gabriel was this. The angel says, "He," meaning the new child, "will be very great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." But that's pretty good, getting that kind of information. That's pretty good stuff to get. There's royal language there. This child is going to be a king forever. And that means that somehow everything is going to work out okay. Even though Mary had no idea how it was going to happen or even how it could possibly work out. So here they are, Mary and Joseph, a couple of nobodies from Nowheresville. And they have been given the responsibility to handle the greatest assignment God ever gave anybody. And they've been given no instructions on how they're supposed to do it. Isn't that interesting? Hurricane Katrina hit on a Monday, if y'all remember, back in 2005. Later that week, some of us church people met at the South Baton Rouge Church of Christ and trying to figure out, well, what do we do now? How do we respond to this? The preacher there, a good friend of mine, Eddie, said, "Listen, I've gotten in touch with the great, great guru of disaster relief known worldwide. His name is Don Yelton. He's a member of the Whites Ferry Road Church of Christ in Monroe, Louisiana. And he's been doing disaster relief worldwide forever. He's coming down. He's going to tell us what to do." And so, later that week, or maybe the next week, Don Yelton came right here to this building. We pulled a table into the foyer to get a little light. The lights were still not working here. The power was still not working. We pulled a table into the foyer, and several of us gathered around the table with Don Yelton, the great guru of disaster relief. And here we are, facing the greatest disaster that ever hit North America. We're ground zero. And let me sum up for you what Don Yelton told us to do. He said, whatever you guys decide to do, it's going to be great. I know it. Get out there and do some good. And then he left. And we were like, well, some of you may remember that we did some things during disaster relief for about a year. We were making it up as we went along. Can I say this? It was great. He was right. It was great. But he didn't tell us what to do. God didn't tell them what to do either. All he gave them was the assurance that it's all going to work out in ways that will boggle their minds, in ways that they can't even begin to imagine right now. All that was required of them was faithfulness. And all of that sure reminds me of another place in the Bible where God handed out a big assignment, the second greatest assignment ever. We're going to get to that in a little bit. But think for a minute now about Mary and Joseph. Got to use our imaginations because the Bible gives us virtually no information. But we know some things happened. Lots of things happened between the time that the angel spoke to them and the time that they pulled in from Nazareth into Bethlehem. What happened? I see Mary and Joseph coming together after his dream, slowly talking their way through everything. And somehow, over the course of some time, they come to grips with it. They start to get excited about the future. They start making plans for the birth. They start making plans for this new baby, Jesus. They already knew the name as he grows up. And yeah, there's gossip. And yeah, there's whispers. And yeah, there's people shaking their heads. But they're dealing with that. And they're thinking, you know what? That's all going to go away when the baby comes. Because after all, it's a baby, right? But then comes some stunning news. What? We've got to leave Nazareth and go to Bethlehem to be taxed? Can you see them looking at their calendars and adding up numbers and realizing that this super special baby is going to arrive while they're in Bethlehem? Or maybe on the way to Bethlehem. And now panic is setting in as all of their plans for a sweet and peaceful birth there in Nazareth with Mama and Grandma, all that is out the window. Now what? Well, now that all of their plans have failed, all they can do now is trust that God is going to take care of everything. You ever been there? I bet you some of you have been there when all you can say is, God, it's up to you. It's up to you, God. Let go and let God. Haven't you ever heard that? Boy, when you do that, things are going to be awesome, aren't they? Wow. Look what happens when they say, okay, God, it's up to you.
I pulled into Nazareth, was feeling bound half past dead. I just need some place where I can lay my head. Hey, mister, can you tell me where a man might find a bed? He just grinned and shook my hand. No was all he said.
Does that look like what happens when God is in charge? What we expect when God is in charge of the birth of His Son? Does this look like what you expect when God is in charge of the birth of His Son? Not how I would have done it. Maybe not how you would have done it. And yet, here we are, 2,000 years later, and we, and much of the world, find ourselves drawn again and again to this story. We're fascinated. We're captivated by the power of this story, the real Christmas story. And we're captivated in a way we never would have been had we done it my way, or the way Mary and Joseph wanted to do it. And so we can, with the perspective of hindsight, we can see the wisdom of God in a plan that we never would have thought of. Sometimes that's what it takes, is a little perspective to see the wisdom of God in the plans that He's doing in your life. Might not see it right now. Mary and Joseph didn't see it right then, I don't think. But because we can see it now, we can see how the story of how the Word who was with God and the Word who was God became one of us. How awesome that plan was. And became one of us not as an unapproachable king or some celebrity that you can't even get close to, but just a regular baby born to regular, non-special parents. Except there's one thing special about that baby's parents. And it's not the virgin birth, and it's not the fact that they were visited by the mighty angel Gabriel, although that's pretty special. But no, what makes them special is what they said when they were given the most important assignment that God had ever given to anybody on the face of the earth. Luke records it for us. Mary said, "I am the Lord's servant, and I am willing to do whatever He wants." Let me rephrase that for you in Tammany Oaks language. I am ready to do whatever the Lord wants. And I know it's not recorded anywhere in the Bible that Joseph said those words. But we know he did. We know he did. Either out loud to Mary or just in his heart to God. And it's because those two otherwise nothing special people said this and meant this, that there even is a Christmas story. These are the words that saved Christmas. Aren't you thankful for their ready hearts Oh, those hearts. How do they get hearts like that? Mary was a young girl. Lorelai's age or less. How do they get hearts like that? I guess they really were pretty special, after all. Yeah, I mentioned a few minutes ago that this was the number one greatest assignment God ever gave to anybody on earth. But can you guess what the second greatest assignment ever was? Can you guess? What? Good guess, but no. Nope. These are all great, and they're not wrong answers. Here's what I'm thinking the greatest one was. Second greatest one. So go. Make followers of all people in the world. Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to obey everything that I have told you to do. And you can be sure that I will be with you always, and I will continue with you until the end of time. That's what I think is the second greatest assignment ever given to anybody. And by the way, if you're someone who believes that Jesus is the Son of God, He's given you this assignment. Amen? And no, He didn't give you a lot of detail on how to do this assignment, did He? He just gives you His assurance that He's going to be with you, with us, as we do it. He gives us, in the rest of the words, He gives us the assurance that it's all going to work out. It's all going to work out in ways that are going to boggle our minds, in ways we can't even imagine right now. All that's required of us is faithfulness. And now, God is waiting to hear your response, to hear your awesome response. I am ready to do whatever the Lord wants. Because these words, the words that saved Christmas, they can still change the world. Amen. Have you said it? Will you say it? Will you mean it? Let's stand and sing and encourage each other.